Good morning. This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. It was not long ago unimaginable to think that other cities could learn something from Detroit, except maybe as a cautionary tale. The city was bankrupt, control of the city's finances was wrested from its local base, and the downtown core practically emptied.
But the narrative about Detroit is changing, and changing enough that other Midwestern industrial cities are starting to take notice of the renewal that's taking hold there. Milwaukee, for example.
Today, a leader in outreach and economic development in Detroit is the keynote speaker for a week's worth of activity sponsored by a Milwaukee organization hoping to spark an urban renaissance with creative entrepreneurs at its heart. James Fegan is outreach consultant with the Detroit Economic Growth Corporation, and Carl Nielsen is board chair for the Riverworks Business Improvement District in Milwaukee, and they're with us in the studio. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
What is the image of Detroit's future that you have?
For me, it's hopeful. You know, obviously there's no shortage of documentation about the challenges we faced, but when you look at the municipal books or the conversation we're having right now around land use, inclusion, development, how to make sure that neighborhoods are not just protected but thrive and move forward, I feel like by and large you have a lot of the right stakeholders at the table, from the community to the business community to government and investors really looking at how do we move the city forward. And we might have debates about that, but we are all having that conversation about moving forward.
Well, and it sounds like the key part of this process for you was bringing people together.
Yes.
How did you do that?
I can't take credit for all of it. You know, I was brought to the table as well. But, you know, I can remember working in community development 10 years ago. And I would, you know, spend my days on the east side in a neighborhood I grew up in, 10 miles from downtown, but kind of working in a silo. And there would be other community groups that we'd be convened, and we were all working in our various silos, and we would talk about it. But there were so many different things going on or not going on as the business community was looking at the, you know, some of the financial challenges facing the global market, as well as our local region, some of the things that were coming on the housing crisis that folks could see coming, in the financial crisis and the auto crisis, and just looking at, okay, what is this going to look like? What's this going to be? And not knowing – at the time, we're talking unprecedented things. We're talking about a large city filing bankruptcy, you know, auto industries, all these different challenges. To now be on the other side of that where folks are like, okay, it's not just about – unbracing ourselves and recovering. It's about actually charting an active, proactive way forward that we recognize is not about, you know, they say it's not one whale, it's 1,000 minnows. So having people understand that it's about entrepreneurship, it's about, you know, one job at a time, it's about having folks positioned to create their own jobs, and it's also about strengthening and supporting neighborhoods, even as some of the great activity and momentum takes place downtown.
Well, and I want to bring Carl Nielsen into this conversation. And for a while, there has been this narrative in places like Milwaukee that kind of goes, thank God we're not Detroits. And but I wonder, as we hear stories of Detroit starting to turn this corner, are we behind Detroit in certain ways of you know, bringing everyone to the table to have this conversation?
Well, I can't speak to that, you know, where I think James and I had a nice discussion this morning about how it's refreshing to not see ourselves as competitors, Milwaukee and Detroit. But so for sure, Detroit was that cautionary tale and how we weren't there yet. We've invited James to come to Milwaukee to talk with us this week because of what they're doing with creativity and its impact on economic development.
You know, Detroit is not a blank slate by any means, but there is definitely there's a tremendous opportunity in Detroit when you talk about, even as we have now in some of the more desirable areas, you know, $500,000 cash deals for lofts that are renovated from old factories and, you know, homes in old areas that were foreclosed on 5 years ago. that someone bought for $20,000, put $100,000 in the work to, and now selling for $700,000, $800,000. That's a crazy housing market thing that's taking place. That said, you still got 142 square miles that are, you know, there's great land, there's great assets. And now as we start to just relook at some of the same things that we had before. So a vacant property is no longer blight, it's opportunity. And it's, okay, who's got the best idea for how to reuse this 5,000 square feet? And what kind of tools are we going to put in place to lower the barriers so for someone to come in and actually fulfill that vision? And so you've got now this opportunity that exists in Detroit, and I'm sure other places around the country, but, like, if you've got a great idea, there's enough resources, programs in place, and also just a community and cultural support where every grand opening is celebrated and people want to see you succeed, and we're all kind of in this together to really get over the finish line if you're willing to put in the work.
Is there an urban-suburban divide that you had to bridge to make this a reality?
I think the biggest thing that we have bridged is that 15 years ago, if you were in the suburbs, white or black, you weren't thinking about Detroit as where to go when you graduated from college, more or less graduated from high school. But now as you look at, you know, our main anchor institution, educational institution, Wayne State University, didn't have dorms when I graduated high school. And now they are a major economic engine within the Midtown neighborhood as it grows. So as they build dorms and then other developers come and build lofts, then there's more restaurants, there's all kind of cool stuff going on. It makes that property more value. And we deal with those challenges around displacement, but it also helps that development spread. But you now have folks that are looking at Detroit as not just a, oh, I didn't get into Michigan, I'll drive to Wayne State for a couple of years. No, I want to be in Detroit. And so that changing. And then also, as the job market comes back and as opportunity comes back, and frankly, as the country has an economic challenge where you're not just going to graduate with an MBA and go get a job at a, you know, whatever kind of firm or whatever you want to do, people are also doing that and saying, okay, what kind of business can I start in Detroit? And that's fun to see, and that wasn't really a part of the conversation 15 years ago.
Well, so let's turn back to Milwaukee then. Is there a coming together that you see that needs to happen here in order for Milwaukee to take the next step to do these kinds of things that James is talking about that are happening in Detroit?
Yeah, completely. Our organization, Riverworks, was born out of the loss of the AMC Motor Company on Capitol Drive. And we are stewards of that industrial park, one of Wisconsin's first urban industrial parks. And we find ourselves on there's three bridges that connect our community to the east side and to the North Shore. There's North Avenue, Locust, and Capitol. We are exactly across the bridge from Capitol. We abut Glendale, and our neighbors across the bridge is Shorewood. We are smack in the middle of the Harambe community and River West. So I see that we are in a wealth of different populations, different resources, and our geographic location is fantastic. And we are left with being an older industrial park with an inventory of buildings that are perfectly suited for the creative class. So a lot of what James is talking about, we're there. We're at the doorstep of developing this neighborhood, this walk-to-work, bike-to-work kind of economy and positioning in our city, which we hope we'll expand the conversation. I think we all know locally, at least I hope we do, that the national news story that hit the airwaves from last month, it highlighted a lot of our problems, but it wasn't the whole story. There's a lot of conversation happening right now and a lot of connectivity. And I think our city is doing the best we can. We have Century City coming along with some great economic impact. The Valley's been strong for years. Riverworks is right there.
Century City, we should say, has the potential for great economic impact. It is not there yet.
Correct. But its potential is there. And your question about connectivity, I think, going back to that, we're building these economic centers. So Riverworks is a little bit further ahead than Century City, but we're also just right down Capitol Drive. So we're that extension. You know, we're connecting the dots. And as we reach to the North Shore and our suburban communities, that's an incredibly important conversation that has to happen.
when you were doing this work 10 years ago and mm-hmm. the bottom had not even yet entirely fallen out in Detroit, did it ever occur to you that 10 years later people would be turning to you and to Detroit for advice for how to move forward?
Absolutely. And the reason I say that is when you look historically, Detroit has always been first. So the reason we are first to hit the decline and figure out how to rebuild American cities because we were the first, you know, when we led with the automobile in the Industrial Revolution, even though it was happening in other cities, the way we built our middle class and then scaled to neighborhoods and built highways and moved out and left city cores, we were just the next city to kind of answer that American question, which is now being answered at 50 to 100 places around the country is, well, what do we do? Okay, we built all these suburbs, we built all these suburban office parks, but now talent wants to live in cities. Now people want to, even though they can afford cars, they want to walk to work. They want to do different things. How do we facilitate that? How do you have an economy that is not built on one or two industries but is diversified, is flexible, has a lot of talent, and has those resources? So as we're now figuring those things out, we are able to, you know, build different models. You know, I don't want to say we have nothing to lose, but we definitely understand that, like, status quo is no more acceptable better than anyone else. You know, for Detroit to get over the auto industry is about as much as anyone anywhere could have to get over. The other thing, too, is and I appreciate being in the position I'm in to be able to talk about things and do work, but what we're also having happen in Detroit is as people discover the story, there's also been a lot of talent and resilience that wasn't appreciated even during those 30, 40, 50 years. Because as a lot of folks and talent left the city, yeah, things got bad, but somebody still figured out how to keep the lights on. Somebody still kept those neighborhoods somewhat intact. As our school systems failed by a lot of standards, teachers still worked and figured out ways to educate kids. People kept neighborhoods intact. Trash still got picked up. So a lot of folks who know and do great things in those communities, I'm simply relying on some of the things I learned from them as I grew up in that city. So it's great to now have the attention on Detroit, but I try to make sure I pay homage to them as much as possible. And if as we move forward as a city, we can't do it without that knowledge base because some of the same challenges that we think we need to figure out now about how do you retain millennial talent as they move into neighborhoods and start families are the same problems we need to figure out 30 years ago as black middle class residents who could leave the city chose to stay in and figured out that question for themselves.
There's a certain pride in the turnaround being a homegrown phenomenon.
It definitely is for me, and that's what I try to make sure I include in every conversation, that yes, this is about new people and new resources, new talent and new businesses, but it's also about the folks that stuck it out when they could have walked away, and there's a lot that didn't, and they deserve just as much attention, support, and to be a part of the narrative and sharing the rewards of what's happening now.
James Feagan, Carl Nielsen, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
James Feagan is outreach consultant with the Detroit Economic Growth Corporation, and Carl Nielsen is board chair for the Riverworks Business Improvement District. He's also president of a marketing firm in the district.
Feagan will be the keynote speaker this evening at the Dolphin Pool event, part of a broader Riverworks Week. You'll find a link to more details at WUWN.com.
We'll take a quick break now and then focus our attention overseas with contributor Art Sear and take a look at what North Korea is up to. You're listening to Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.
Da-da-da-da.